Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis, ça va bien. I hope we're all ça va bien tonight. It is December 23rd, 2019, and Mummy is doing a bit of an experiment tonight. Usually we come to you from the heart of New York City, high atop the Chrysler Building, the revolving ballroom of the Café Berlin. But tonight, Mummy is actually coming to you from, can you believe it? I'm coming to you from Chatham on Cape Cod in Massachusetts, one of the loveliest towns, if not the loveliest town in all of Cape Cod, all its magical little towns and villages. Chatham is certainly in the top one percentile. Provincetown also is there, but Provincetown is almost a city by comparison. Anyway, Patty Page was right. If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, do come to Cape Cod. And I think that Cape Cod, though it's beautiful in the spring and it's enchanting in the summer and it's magical in the fall, do you know how beautiful you have to be as a town to be gorgeous in the winter? And that is what, well, that's what a lot of Cape Cod is. It's beautiful even in the winter. No wonder not only Provincetown, but so many of the towns here have become artist colonies. People from all over the world for the last 150 years have come here to paint, not just paint the scenery or the beaches or the trees or the dunes, to paint sheds, to paint like outhouses. Bob Ross, do you remember frizzy-haired Bob Ross? I mean, half of his paintings were sort of like Cape Cod paintings. Just enchanting. You must run, do not walk, and make sure that you come to Cape Cod someday. And certainly if you're gay and have never been here, and certainly not to Provincetown, your gay credentials are very, very much in disorder. Your passport could be revoked for not having made a perfunctory trip to Provincetown. The laughter you're hearing in the background is, of course, my beloved, my inspiring, my uber generous producer and muse, none other than Gwendolyn Holden-Berry. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. I think it's just beautiful that you get to spend Christmas on the Cape. Isn't that nice?
Yes. Yeah, well, I have a tendency to do this. My ancestors are actually from the Cape. You know, my family dates all the way back beyond the Revolution to the Mayflower. And my grandmother was a Standish. Yeah, my grandmother was a Standish, and my grandfather was from the Bradford line. So they are old New Englanders. And then so much of my family is from Boston and Plymouth and the whole Massachusetts Cape Cod area, but specifically Provincetown and all of that. And I've always joked that although my ancestors were pilgrims, and certainly many of them were pills and all of them were grim, we are from the branch of pilgrims that went to Provincetown and were a little more frisky. So it was sad because half of the Mayflower went to Plymouth and got very serious and began doing the Salem witch trials. And the other half sort of camped out in Provincetown with the nice Native Americans who taught them all sorts of things about cooking and building more attractive lodges and wigwams and things. So my family is a little bit more from the frisky end of the pilgrim branch. So, you know, and I come back here and I feel very much at home. Clam chowder runs through my veins. I pricked my finger today doing some needlepoint and clam chowder came out. I knew I was home, you know, like I was home. Before we get any farther, I just want to say that Gwendolyn is in our control room in the Chrysler Building, and I am broadcasting to you live from a beautiful bay window here in the Chatham Bars Inn, which I cannot recommend enough. I've been doing Tourette's. I want to thank many of you. Darlings, Mummy's going to scold you just for a minute here. Do you know what it would be like to be a mummy and to buy all sorts of Christmas presents for your children and to put them under the tree? Right? And you put all these presents under the Christmas tree. Or you put them around the Hanukkah menorah. There, I'll make it, yes, or the Kwanzaa bush or whatever. And you've bought all these Christmas presents, you've wrapped them beautifully, and you put them around, and you invite all your children to come in. And what they do is they just point and look at the presents and never open them and enjoy them. I know Gwendolyn knows where I'm going with this. Darlings, since Mummy doesn't have lots of money, the best Mummy can do is give you presents on her Facebook pages and her Twitter and her Instagram. That's the best I can do. And it's interesting because we look at the numbers. Gwendolyn and I look at how many people actually saw a post or how many people liked it or how many people whatever. And I find it absolutely amazing. So many of you just look at the photograph that I post and then move on. And some of you actually look at the photograph and then post something that has nothing to do with what Mummy wrote about the photograph or the story or the anecdote. So it's kind of like you walk up to the Christmas tree, you pick up a present, you shake it, and then put it back down and leave. Now, I would like, because I am known for the sweetness of my nature, to have you enjoy my presence to you. So I'm going to ask you to take a few minutes every once in a while and actually look at one of the anecdotes or read the caption. Some of them are stories. Okay, you don't have time to read a two-paragraph story. That's sad. But if you don't, you don't. But at least read the caption. I just find it interesting that I have some people who aren't even clicking on the Tourette's. My goodness, you don't even have to read anything. Just press the just click on the thing and play it. And there's a Tourette that talks to you, and then you can move on. I'm amazed at what is going on my Facebook pages. But I can't do your laundry and cook for you and wipe your ass. I'm sorry. I will have to draw the line at something. Although I'm fond of all 5,000 of you and the thousands more in followers, I can dust for you. I can do the whites and colors separate, but I just can't wipe your ass. So I'm afraid that is a service that Mummy just at my great age and at Gwendolyn's great age, we're just not going to offer that service. Thank you. No, don't pull out a blank check. No, we don't take Visa or MasterCard. We're not going to wipe your ass. Having said that, I'd like to invite you to call in tonight. Our phone number here is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Gwendolyn loves when I pick up the pace and do that. I want to remind you that our sponsor this week and every week is DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. You can find them on the internet. DaughtersOfIsis.com is all one word. Go to their website and stand dumbfounded, thoroughly amazed and flummoxed at the fact that they sell hundreds of products, different variations on the amazing world of olfactory senses. They make things that not only smell delightful, but expand your consciousness, expand your chakras, expand your heart and your mind and your metaphysicality. Run, do not walk. Gwendolyn, I want to say this. We almost had a convergence of the solstice, Christmas, Hanukkah, the full moon, I don't know what all. I mean, it's all converging within the same 7 days about. Talk about Hanukkah and Christmas are together. You've got the full moon was just a few days ago, whatever. What do you think would be a wonderful fragrance for people maybe to try for if they go on daughtersofisis.com? What would be a great fragrance to do right now with the conjunction of Christmas and Hanukkah, which, by the way, boys and girls at home, does not happen every year. Sometimes Hanukkah is after Christmas. Sometimes, it's not always this in tune. So what would you suggest, Gwendolyn?
I have to say that Kaiyafi. My Kaiyafi blend would be the very, very best. And I'm glad you mentioned that because at midnight tonight through the 26th, I'm having for my patrons who support me all year long, I am running what they call it's my first ever flash sale I actually have some specials up, but every purchase is 20% off from midnight tonight until the 26th. So if you go on, you'll get 20% off. And my best recommendation for right now is Kaifi. It's a temple blend of our Egyptian collection. And what it does is it provides, it's the fragrance of the gods, and it brings sacredness to the moment. And it's also, it smells just delightful. It's got everything.
Tell them tell them some of the essences that are in it. I happen to love Kaifi.
Oh my God.
Tell them what are the fragrances in it.
Oh my God, there's over 32. And you know, I got it through a dream. It was actually channeled to me. There is sandalwood and honeysuckle absolute and jasmine gladiolum and there's a little cassia in it. I had to begin to blend all of these essential oils by putting grains, actual grains of paradise, in the bottom of the bottle was the instructions I was given. There is frankincense and there is
very appropriate for Christmas. There you go.
Bourbon geranium. There is, and this is all coming off the top of my head. I haven't got the formula in front of me.
But that gives them a good idea. And it's also, would you describe it as a spicier than a floral, or what would you, if a connoisseur, a wine connoisseur was coming, would they say this is
it's
not a fruity blend. It's more of a.
It's amazing because I make the blend and then I have to back shelf it to age it for at least a couple of months. And I don't know if it's the oak moss or it's those grains of paradise or what it is, but it all sort of magically comes together. It becomes the Kaifi, and I would call it it sort of embraces not just a spiciness, but there's a sweetness, yet a clarity and a very grounding scent. And then all of a sudden you're elevated. So this is a scent that has many notes to it. It has base, middle, and top, and all of them, they make their way into the environment. Especially in a spray, I have it in the oil and I have it in a spray and I have it in incense, but in the spray, especially it comes in layers to you. It comes in layers. So I just finished writing about, Kaifi, how I got Kaifi, as a matter of fact. And,
now, Kaifi, if you wear it on your skin. So the product, the product that you would buy if you wanted to wear it on your skin would be the spray. Is that correct?
Well, you could. A lot of people, the correct way to do it is to spray in front of you and walk through it.
Walk through it. So it's on your clothes more. But even if you walk through it, it would still land on your face and your skin, which means
that the
fragrance
evolved
with your chemistry.
Yes. And you should always skin test. Even perfumes, you should skin test, but alcohol usually keeps it from getting into your bloodstream. Because perfume can react to your skin, but it won't react to your bloodstream. But essential oils, they penetrate. And you should always skin test a little bit. And you can always enjoy any scent many ways if your skin doesn't respond well to a certain scent, my favorite thing is to put a little bit on the underside of my collar or somewhere on my clothes. They're essential oils, and for the most part, and all the oils in the Kaifi blend will wash out. Other way, of course, is an aromatherapy lamp, which is a water-based, water bath where the oil evaporates on top of the water with a flame.
And we've taught people at home that with a diffuser like that, when you do the water, you always make sure that when you have the candle or whatever in the diffuser, you never put the oil in the basin itself. You put it on top of water so that it evaporates, because otherwise the heat can damage and actually scorch the wonderful oil itself. Correct?
It's true. True. Absolutely true. It's the Egyptians that came up with the first, it was their temple blend. It's pronounced normally kefi, and the Greeks got what they could of the formula and were the first ones to write it down and where it comes from. But they have found jars that were still covered or sealed in Egypt, the ingredients inside of them are amazing, astounding, everything from raisins and pomegranates to wine and honey, and honey absolute is in mine. But I was told very distinctly to pronounce mine and to call it kefi, and that's because it's not really kefi. Kefi is every different maker or blender or perfumer has their own recipe or formula for it. So you'll find a lot of different ones out there. Many of them are just beautiful. I happen to think mine's one of the best.
That's great. Yeah. Kefi. I adore kefi. You've sent it to me and I love it. And I would agree that it's a sweet, spicy, it's in that family. It's spicy, but it's also very sweet and very, very complex and wonderful. And I do the same thing. I've used it in a diffuser, but I also will spray it on my collar or when I'm going out, I'll walk through a little mini cloud of it when I spray it up in the air and I walk through it. And it's wonderful
one little thing I would recommend to those people who enjoy taking care of themselves and bathing and such. It's the new year coming and we should all take a salt bath to cleanse and allow the new energy in. And kefi would be the perfect oil to put in the after bath. I always do after bath, you know.
Oh, good to know.
When I'm cleansing. And the warm water and the fragrance, and it takes you to a different place. It's a beautiful meditation, or as we call it, astral zooming. And it takes you away.
Well, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to do that as opposed to saging myself. I have saged apartments and homes. And, of course, you buy the sage and you set it on fire and then you blow it out and it smokes everything. And I have actually tried saging myself to get rid of bad energies and sadnesses from the previous year. And poor mummy, I singed my eyebrows the last time I did it. So I think I'll take a kefi bath instead. It seems much more soothing and much less dangerous. And mummy doesn't have a lot of eyebrows now after all. I'm afraid my eyebrows have sort of turned into Jean Harlow's eyebrows. So I'm going to have to. I've got to be careful about singeing myself. I want to remind people that our phone call number is 323-784-9639. And you can find us on SybilSez.com. That's SYBILSEZ.com and SybilBrunchen.com. And you can also find us on Sybil Brunchen's Lollipop Guild. It's a page that we put together. Gwendolyn loves this page because it's a non-controversial, non-political page where people can post whatever they think that is fun and funny and lovely. We had the most beautiful, for those of you that are animal lovers, we have had an avalanche of the happiest, most beautiful and warm, heartwarming, and encouraging stories about animals and animal rescue and people posting pictures of their kitties and their dogs and their rescue, just everything. It has been absolutely wonderful.
Beautiful, beautiful. Some of your folks will post some of the most beautiful, gorgeous architecture and photos of places that you'd never even guess were even in the world, and the doorways and the cabinets and the art and glass. There's a lot to see on Lollipop.
People are posting beautiful jewelry. They're posting amazing, like all sorts of amazing things. So I can't recommend enough that if you haven't joined Sybil Brunchen's, the Lollipop Guild, please go to Facebook and take a look. And I think you'll be really amazed and you'll want to join. And Lollipop Guilders that are listening tonight, I'd like you to do me a favor and yourselves a favor. Start sharing the photographs and the stories that are on the Lollipop Guild with your friends. And if you can't send them there, then I'd like you to do this. Share them to your own page, okay? You share them to your own page, and that way your friends on your news feed on Facebook will see them, and that way you can share them or whatever. But let's spread the wealth, okay? Let's spread cheer and optimism.
And I'm most there's a little place on the right-hand side when you come into the Lollipop Guild. I'm actually looking at it right now. And your friends are listed, and you can go down and see, like I just invited my friend the helicopter to come on over and take a look and join. You can invite people to come and join on the right-hand side, just under Mummy and her beautiful crown. And that's another way to bring people over, because it really is a wonderful page. It really is.
It's a wonderful page. And so many people are making friends on that page. There are people that are living all over the country, well, in other countries too, on Facebook. And they are beginning to communicate with each other on that page and become Facebook friends. And I must tell you that it's the ultimate matchmaking, is for your page to inspire people to meet and become friends. It's like such – it just is the loveliest mitzvah. Oh, some youth mitzvah tonight. How wonderful for Hanukkah. It is a mitzvah. It's a blessing to introduce friends to other friends and have that become another new interconnection in the universe of you mixing people with other people is a wonderful thing to do, and it's so rewarding. We don't have any phone calls, and I'm kind of surprised. 323-784-9639 is our number, 323-784-9639. I'm not going to dwell on any of this. By the way, you can find Mummy on YouTube, her own channel, Sybil Brunchen YouTube channel, Instagram and Twitter. A couple of current headlines, because you like me to mention things at this time. Luxembourg, the sweet little country of Luxembourg, it's the first country that has done this in the history of the world. It has made all of its public transportation is free. Buses, trolleys, trains. You can get on any vehicle that is public transportation in Luxembourg and travel for free. Isn't that an amazing thing to do? Amazing, I think. Of course, the snarkers in the audience are saying, yes, Luxembourg is smaller than LaGuardia Airport, but still, I think it's an effort that it's well worth it. It's very sweet that the Luxembourgians or the Luxembourgers are making an attempt to make public transportation accessible for everyone. I think that's very nice. Headline out of Saudi Arabia. 5 people have been sentenced to death in the death of Jamal Khashoggi, of course, the reporter and writer and journalist who had gotten a green card and had become an American. And he was invited, so to speak, into the Turkish embassy and then was executed there, and rather gruesomely, apparently. There were recordings and everything which were people were making efforts to squelch them. He has been the bane of the existence of the royal family of Saudi Arabia, and there is incontrovertible, let's all say that at home, incontrovertible proof from our CIA and our intelligence services and our State Department that not only was this scheduled and planned as a first-degree murder, but that it was carried out with the direct orders, not knowledge, orders from bin Salman, Prince bin Salman of the royal family, and that he commissioned people to do this and paid them. And what is fascinating is that the five people that they are going to execute, and then there's an additional six, so that makes 11 people they've convicted. The trial was never witnessed by any outside outside presence at all. No citizens, no observers, no UN observers, no one, no human rights witnesses. So it was basically a kangaroo court, and the five people have not been able to speak to anyone outside of Saudi Arabia and say, we're innocent and we never did this, or we are guilty and the prince hired us to do this. So it looks like it's basically a dustpan and brush operation on the part of the royal family, who, of course, are best friends with our own president, which is always, you know, that's always edifying. Good news. Women outnumber men. Here we are in the second year of the Me Too movement. Women outnumber men in American med schools. Is that not exciting or what? That means that within 4 years, right, if you talk about the freshmen that are going into med schools, and then they finish their internship and their residency, within 8 years, the scale will be tipping, and there will be more female doctors than there are male doctors. Females will begin to overtake men in the medical professions, all specialties, not just OBGYN. So that is very exciting. Just over half the medical school students in the United States are women, which is wonderful. And that's a great, great statistic, because 2020 will be the 100th anniversary of women getting the vote. So it was 1920 that women first were able to vote for the president. And so this is a wonderful anniversary. Imagine, women have not had the vote for a full century. Not yet. It's coming. So any young women listening to the show, or people whose children who have a young daughter or a granddaughter, I want you to talk to your girls and say, young lady, I want you to take them aside and put them in a chair across from you, serve them a cup of tea and some scones, and I want you to say to girls from 4 years of age to 14 and on up to 24, young lady, liberation and empowerment come with a price. It's not enough to tweet and twat and Instagram and use your telephone like a can with a string attached to it and be gossiping and being a mean girl and all the things that are going on in the world right now. Part of being a powerful young woman is to be responsible, to do better than your predecessors did, to govern the country more wisely, to shepherd our environment wisely, and not to decide to drill for oil, to frack Oklahoma, to send pipelines all over Canada. Part of being a responsible modern citizen is to outdo the old white men who have wrecked the world. Okay? So you're not to aspire to be Mitch McConnell. You are not to aspire to be Susan Collins. Susan Collins is a sad, forlorn carryover from the 19th century. She would be best barefoot with 12 children, a prairie skirt, and a pan of muffins. Okay? Your job is to be better than that. Your job is to be modern and extraordinary.
I don't believe she's qualified for that, but I mean to tell you. You did hear what the last president said prior to the debate, didn't you? And they did bring it up at the debates. Our President Obama suggested that the world would be better off if there was more women in leadership.
Oh, absolutely.
If that ain't a,
I ain't backing you boys. I don't know.
And by the way, I don't understand how other countries have had women chief executives, not only before us, long before us. How countries and I don't mean this as an insult completely, as backward as Pakistan and India, I don't understand how different countries who actually are patriarchies, but have somehow stepped out of that patriarchal myopia enough to elect a woman prime minister in India and Pakistan. Granted, both of those women were assassinated, but that only shows how powerful they really were. Talk about a woman being a threat to a patriarchy. You're talking about two women who were so powerful that their opponents decided the best way to deal with them was to kill them. But I don't understand how this country that prides itself on being so modern, so developed, so ahead of everyone, so quote-unquote first world, has not had a woman chief executive. It speaks volumes.
Especially when you consider that one of their greatest allies became the mother of Israel, the mother of Israel, Golda.
Golda Meir.
Yeah. She was the mother of her country. She was a strict mother, but she was a mother nonetheless. There's a great deal to be said for also the prime minister of New Zealand and the new prime minister.
Of New Zealand is a perfect example.
Uh-huh. And then you got Finland, a brand new prime minister in Finland, a woman who is not just progressive, but I believe she's under 40. The world is changing. It is changing, Mommy.
Well, with this century ending, with this decade ending, and with the next decade about to begin, technically the next decade doesn't really begin until 2021, if you're counting properly. But for those of us that think it sort of is beginning now, I can't tell you how hopeful I am that this turns around, that teenage boys and adolescent boys are valuing their female fellow students, that they're learning to treat girls in a more respectful way, and we've got to stop worrying about whether we're male, female, black, white, young, old, Olympic athletes, paraplegics, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, Presbyterians. It's got to be people and people and people. And once we get that going, we can even start treating other species as equals as well, which would be really wonderful. But that may be too much to ask.
I actually heard somebody say that animals don't have imagination the other day. I said, have you ever seen a dog sleeping, having a dream? I mean, to think that animals don't have imagination is basically just some ignorance there. It's beyond Newtonian. Basically saying that they don't have the process of thought to cross the room. Use your imagination every time you think. You think a thought.
Yeah.
You have imagination. How foolish is that?
People who can look at a cat and not see all sorts of thinking going on in that those eyes. And dogs do just as much thinking. The problem for dogs is that they've been so determined to please us in every way that their thoughts and their facial expressions only reinforce the chauvinism of human beings. Human beings look at a dog and say, it's not thinking at all, and because the dog is so busy thinking about how to make a human being happy, which is the beginning of the problem right there. One loves dogs, but sadly, dogs have become the Edith Bunkers of the species world. They are so eager to please the human companion that they have almost no wills of their own. We can only look at them as human beings. We can only look at them and be stunned by their joy at running into a pile of leaves and making a mess of it, or fetching a stick in the waves or whatever. Cats, on the other hand, don't give a flying F about whether we are perfectly happy. If they want to jump on us and pet us and rub their faces on us and sit on the keyboard, that's their choice. If they want to knock things off the counter, that's their choice. We are basically servants and employees of cats. And that's a whole different subject. That includes from miniature domestic cats all the way up to tigers and lions.
Human beings
are basically servants of cats. And so, but anyway, yes, what were you going to say, Gwendolyn?
Well, when I was in school, one of the things that I did was work on a project that collected the experiences, near-death experiences. And many of the, it was fascinating and so very, really uplifting. But many people would come back and say that, you know, their pet dog from when they were a child was there to greet them. Their pet cat, one guy had a baby elephant that had been boarded at the farm where he was one of the kids that lived in a group home. It was a farm, and they had a little elephant for a while they had to take care of. And that elephant he fell in love with, and that elephant was there when he was crossing. And it's like, yeah, tell me that there's no soul in anything that is alive. The universe is a soul.
I agree. I agree with you completely, and I've been blogging about this. I believe not only do animals have souls, I believe that plants have souls. I believe that plants are living creatures, and they have their own souls. They have senses that are different than ours. They experience things differently than us. They have senses that we don't have. It would be like saying, what if a being from another planet came here and said, yes, our planet is very smell and hearing oriented, and we're stunned at the human species, how primitive and benighted they are. They can't see very well. They can't smell very well. They can't see as well as birds. They can't smell or hear things nearly as well as dogs, cats, or in fact, almost any other mammal. They're really, why would we keep them? Let's wipe out human beings and let's build a relationship with our planet and Earth, because these beings smell and hear things and can see things at long distance. Human beings are really useless. What if that's how people, beings were judged, based on their ability to perceive things? You don't know what a cat is thinking. Cats could be thinking unbelievable things based on their sense of smell and hearing, based on their night vision. It's so extraordinary to me that human beings do not take a minute and turn 360 degrees in place and really see everything that's around them. I have to also add to this that I've sort of take on the Japanese and Chinese philosophy of that objects have some sort of soul, that objects, that a rock or a piece of artwork made by
carry
a human being has taken on a soul.
Well, they carry the energy. So much of our technology is built out of quartz crystal. This is why many in my community work. I have a Vogel cut crystal, an original Vogel, that sits on my bench. I don't use it to go lasering around with. It's not one of my tools that way. It just sits there, and it's recording my whole journey on this bench. And we have a phone call, Mommy.
Oh, goodness. Well, I liked what you were saying about that. And
by
the way,
we did have a phone call. It just dropped. They'll probably call right back in. I went over to
it,
and it went down.
I want to just address something. Gwendolyn, I want to address something that you were talking about, because you sent me a photograph, a picture of a stone, a Native American stone, that a utensil that you use to grind blossoms and stuff, and it's at your table too, right? Is it basalt,
yes,
or is it a?
It's
a black basalt, or?
No, it's American bluestone, and it's out of New England. And it comes from one of the nations up there. I'm not quite sure which, but it did get gifted to me by a Native American who was Chickasaw. And it's a head crusher. Its first use was for a war.
That was originally what it was used for. It was tied to a stick. And was used as a head crusher, a hammer.
Actually, it was a stick was actually carved to hold it, and then, you know, the buckskin was wrapped around it and wetted down to hold it, and it was a war club. And when it came to me, the psychometry I got for it was, you know, head crusher, and I put it on a bed a crystal formation, a cluster that I had. And I picked it up after a week, and it really hadn't switched its allegiances, shall we say. And then I had it in my hand, and I walked into, at the time we still had the shop, I walked into the herb room, and we had the weighing and everything was on the trunk of a big old theater trunk, you would like that one, was our table in there. And I accidentally dropped it into the herbs that were being mixed. And I knew exactly what I was supposed to be doing with it.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And it has
you
been
changed
that way.
You changed karma. You changed the karma of it.
It agreed. It made an agreement with me. I fully believe it made an agreement with me, because if anyone were to walk in here and threaten me, that head crusher would feel that energy and be ready and willing to go. I have no doubt. But when it's in my hands, and it's in my wooden bowl, you know, and I'm rubbing it around mortar pestle style and crushing herbs with it, it is fully in the moment with me. So it's an agreement I have, and it fits. It fits the whole, you know, the whole getup. It fits.
That's terrific. That is terrific. I'm going to reiterate our phone number in case someone wants to squeeze in a quick phone call. The phone number is 323-784-9639, 323-784-9639. Couple of other cute little news items. Nike releases the Colin Kaepernick gym shoe. The shoe is sold out within minutes of its release. No sooner did they get it into Nike stores, and it was gone. And what I especially like, and Gwendolyn, you're going to get a laugh out of this, it's called the Colin Kaepernick Air Force One shoe. It's so fabulous. It's the Air Force One. I mean, talk about sticking it to the president. I mean, it's just like, he calls the shoe, because Nike, of course, is so much about being able to travel through the air. You're jumping, you're an athlete, you're a football player, a basketball player. But Air Force One, I just think that is hysterical that they would do that. I can't imagine that. Ivanka must be foaming at the mouth. Everybody in that family must be like, oh, God damn Nike. God damn them to hell. Dennis Muhlenberg. Dennis Muhlenberg, the CEO. Here's a Christmas present for you, corporate America. He was fired by Boeing for presiding over, you know, Boeing's most catastrophic year. Two major plane crashes, cover-ups left and right, mismanagement. And I think that we're living in an age. Gwendolyn is full of, like, wonderful predictions. I'm just going to predict, and I'm going to hope that this coincides with her astrology and astronomy and her metaphysicality, that we are living in a time when, even when it seems impossible, that the bigger they come, the harder they fall. That we may be living in a David and Goliath time. We may be living in a time when it's no longer a place of power to be trudging over the feelings and the rights and the lives of smaller people. Maybe the meek really will inherit the earth, because it's interesting to see people at the top having to pay for their mischiefs. And in my opinion, of course, I believe they should not only pay for their deliberate mischiefs, but I think that even when you're careless and when you've been when it's been a mistake, if you have wrecked something for someone else, you must pay. You must pay. The ambassador's wife who killed the British kid on his motorbike, she is apparently going to be held accountable. And all of her quote-unquote diplomatic immunity is not going to work. This has been a completely constructed thing by Trump, by her husband. It's been inexcusable. It's been inexcusable. So we see it everywhere. We see people having to pay. And here's, you know, the CEO, Dennis Muilenburg of Boeing, being given the boot days before Christmas, or during Hanukkah, if you prefer. Muilenburg sounds like it might be a Jewish name. So perhaps, you know, the second night of Hanukkah has been an unfortunate time for him.
You know, it's interesting because on the eastern side of things this year, we're going into the year of the metal rat, 2020. It comes right after this last year was the year of the pig, and it was very early.
Now, wait, what is this Chinese year? This is the what? The metal
The year of the metal rat. And it's Lunar New Year starts on a Saturday, January 25th, and it's going to end on the 11th of February in 2021.
The Chinese New Year is falling early this year, because usually it falls right around my birthday, much as Mardi Gras does. It's interesting, those two things usually occur right near my birthday, but January 21st.
Yeah, and it's basically 2020 is going to be considered a year of new beginnings and renewals. And each year within the Chinese zodiac, you get the year of the pig. So the pig is good for some and bad for others, but challenging. But this year, the year of the metal rat is very auspicious because it's a year of new beginnings and renewals. It's a year that's going to be strong, prosperous, and lucky for almost every sign of the Chinese zodiac. Goals, aspirations, even the hobbies you have, you're going to find fulfillment with. It's a good time to purchase a home or start a business or invest money, long-term projects. Now, you consider all of this inscrutably because it's coming from the East. It's going to be sumptuous. It's going to have a lot of color to it, I think, and that means huge change. So for the North American continent, I think this bodes well because we are needing some very huge change, no more status quo. So I'm very uplifted by finding this out in the last week that we're coming into the year of the metal rat. And there's something in here that I thought I wanted to mention this because I thought you would like this. It's all about wonderful foods and cooking and making parties and wearing outrageous clothing. It's a year of opulence. And I thought, Tommy's going to love that because that's right up her alley.
Right.
It's productive. it's a very productive kind of a year. It metal creates water, so water is life. And
wow,
industry should see some very new and uplifting changes going on. In other words, you know, of course there's good and bad in every industry according to certain, you know, influences and what have you. But this one bodes like some very big switchovers, which makes me feel very, very positive about green new industry. So I just wanted to sneak that in there so that we'd have the information before the year ran out, you know. People can prepare
yes.
for the year of the rat, you know. It's coming. Let's give the metal rat some due, some encouragement to anchor very well for 2020. A lot of energy. And here's the other thing, too. There's an overall wellness to it. In other words, healing is very possible this upcoming year, according to the Chinese zodiac. So
wow.
anyone who's been suffering or going through their, you know, steps towards getting the healing done, this upcoming year should be at the end of January, things should begin to shift very, very much.
Uh-huh. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I will look forward to some sort of prosperity myself for a change. I shall be very glad to hear any of that. I was born in the year of the dragon without going into too much detail. So I'm going to be very curious to see. It does say, I'm looking up right now on the internet, that for most of the other 12 Chinese signs, the rat is a lucky year for most of them. Usually, there are goods and bads for every year for different
mm-hmm.
signs. So, you know, no sign gets away every year with perfect luck, according to Chinese zodiac. But the rat seems to tip much, much, much in the direction of a prosperous and a creative and a joyous time as far as accomplishing and building new things. I think that's wonderful. I guess we're not going to be able to take a phone call. We're in the home stretch here. We are going to be coming to you next week again, but we want to remind you that we come Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight or Eastern Standard Time and 7 Central, 6 Rocky Mountain Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, and so on at 3 o'clock in Hawaii. So you can either listen to us live if it's possible. Hello, Australia, by the way, where it's 8 in the morning, I think. And or you can come to our link on the Here Be Monsters Network on Blog Talk Radio, and you can indeed listen to all of our past shows, and we've got an archive there of all our past programs, which is very nice and is being preserved very carefully. And that's thanks to our wonderful producer, Gwendolyn Holden-Berry, and the nice people at Blog Talk Radio. So if just go to our link. If you missed the show or if you want to listen to it again, just go to our link and you'll be taken right there to the site where all the shows are stored. We want to remind you that we were brought to you tonight by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And I would like to suggest to you that rather than buying a pal or a loved one another scarf or another pair of mittens that they're just going to lose one, or a pair of underpants or socks, which is a sad present, and why buy them more clutter? Why not get them an experience? And that's what DaughtersOfIsis.com is. Go to their website and buy them an experience. Those fragrances are wonderful, and you can take them with you. You can experience them in different places. When Mummy is traveling, as I am constantly, as you know from my Tourette's, I take bottles of those fragrances with me, and I have been using DaughtersOfIsis.com fragrances in Fargo, North Dakota, and in Tampa, St. Pete. I've been all the way to Boston and all the way to San Francisco and L.A. So Gwendolyn's fragrances travel with Mummy everywhere. why not join my fragrance fraternity and buy yourself a fragrance or two and use them in all the different ways and go travel with them. Have them be with you. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And instead of cluttering up the house with champagne flutes that you're going to chip anyway, get something that changes your consciousness. Okay. There were so many things I was going to talk to you about. I hope that all of you have been taking my advice on how to chase away the blues. And I'm sure that many of you have not bothered to enact those because it's the holidays and you're going to Christmas parties and shopping and making brownies and Christmas cookies and all the things that we love doing around Hanukkah and the Christmas season, the Kwanzaa season. You're all decorating trees or pulling out the menorahs or getting the dreidels and doing all of that, buying gelt for your children. But I would like to suggest that when that sad day comes, and it will, whether it's the night of December 25th, or you consider it the morning of the 26th, or whether you continue buzzed right through New Year's Eve, but we all, on New Year's Day, we all take a gulp. Some of us hungover, and we look around and we go, oh, dear God, now we have winter. Now, for you Florida people, it's wonderful. You've got people everywhere. You've got orchids and flowers, and everything is going perfectly. But for anyone north of the Mason-Dixon line, it's tough, okay? And I want to suggest that you think about getting a hobby, think about doing projects around the house. I want to remind you that people should not be doing spring cleaning. They should do fall cleaning. I'm not suggesting that you have to do chores, chores, chores. What I'm suggesting is do one thing. Pick one closet and do it. Clean a closet. And if you really want to be amazing, paint it. Paint the entire inside of a closet. What mummy's closets all were was high gloss white enamel. They were literally like the inside of a refrigerator. They were absolutely sterile and beautiful, and everything was folded and presented in them. It was so glamorous. Shades of Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City with her shoe closets. You think about doing a closet over and what it feels like to give away the clothes that you're not wearing. Give them to a charity or to a friend. Give things away. Get rid of clutter. Make your closet magical. Every time you open that closet, you'll be just stunned by it. Think of projects like that, okay? Another thing that a friend of mine did was she not only did her closets and painted them, she got she went to the hardware store and got those lights that you install inside the closet, which then attach to the door so that when you open the door, it triggers the light to go on in the closet. And that made her feel like $1 million. She laughed like a hyena at the fact that her closets had given her a whole new lease on life, on loving her apartment, which she always considered to be a C-minus apartment. But once she did her closets and even put lights on inside them, she felt like she had rented a new apartment. It made her feel terrific. Figure out ways of bringing joy to yourself this coming winter so that winter does not become a drag or a despondent or anything. Okay? So that's all I want to say on that. And this is the last thing I'm going to do right before we go off. I'm going to read you a story. I was going to read you a story, but if you're on your computer right now, you can go to the picture of George, who's my Christmas elf, and you can listen to this while I read it. And the picture is only makes it more wonderful. So if you can tune into that, you'll see it, and then you'll appreciate the story. Okay? So I'm bringing it up right now. Hey there, Facebook folks. Do you have a Christmas elf? I do. And I can't begin to tell you how magical it is to turn around sometimes when the day is too hectic or the weather is brutally cold but not snowing to make it fun or people are shoving and shouting about shopping and you suddenly see your very own Christmas elf. I wish each of you a special Christmas elf of your own. Your elf may be very young or very old or maybe walks about on four legs and tries to lick you or break things that aren't theirs. Maybe they swim in a tank with a pirate ship underwater or fly about in a cage screeching first thing in the morning. And maybe your Christmas elf isn't actually in your home right now, but was and will be forever in your heart, where a true Christmas elf lives forever. And maybe, just maybe, you'll be lucky enough to find that you, without knowing it, are a Christmas elf to someone. And even if they don't say the actual words, you'll know. You'll see it in their eyes, maybe by the twinkling light of candles on a winter night. And you'll know. I want to wish you all a happy holiday. I'll see you right before the new year. Have a good night. I love you, Gwendolyn. I love all of you. Good night.
I love you, Mommy. Good night.